Hi friends, welcome to the Three Pillars podcast with your host Griselda Barreto. Aviation. Today's guest is Bernardine Beaumont. After experiencing the misfortune of becoming unfit to fly and being more or less forced into medical retirement, Bernardine became involved in research to improve the quality of aircraft cabin air and has become a busy advocate and voice for the campaign. For years now, she has been helping aerotoxic fume victims to understand their ill health. Over the years, after a lot of trial and error, her own health improved somewhat. Before beginning her flying career, she qualified as a laboratory assistant and decided to use that education and combine it with naturopathy. She qualified as a naturopath in biofeedback, neuroelectroanatomy, and herbalism. In 2013, Bernardine founded the Aerotoxic Team, a very informative website containing evidence, documentaries, testimonies, science, and news. She also has a blog called It's in the Air We Breathe and writes articles for news outlets. Bernardine networks internationally with experts, scientists, and other clean cabin air advocates and appeared in the investigative documentary Unfiltered Breathe It In. In 2016, Bernardine published two books in two languages in which she talks about her aerotoxic journey. Her third book, Tomb in the Sky, is being launched any day now. She retreated from the modern world, which has become increasingly saturated with chemical fumes everywhere, and is now living in a beautiful, very secluded, clean air area in the Swiss Alps with her little dog, Dolly. She continues to support the Aerotoxic Syndrome campaign via computer and telephone. Hi, Bernardine. Welcome to the Three Pillars. I'm so glad to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Hi, Griselda. Thanks very much for having me. Very well, thank you, except that I'm still snowed in here in my mountains, but everything's
wow.
Fine.
Wow, amazing. Snow, that's beautiful.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I'm high up in the mountains where I basically fled to, so I guess I have to just deal with it.
Yeah. So before we start, Bernardine, can I ask you to just give a short bio about yourself, a short description?
Sure. I was born in England. My parents both flew. I went to school partially in Switzerland and partially in Africa and got my laboratory technician diploma in Switzerland. Then I worked for a few years in a laboratory. Then I went flying, and I flew for 20 years for a German airline, well, Lufthansa actually. And sadly, I got sick and had to stop flying and have been doing things all over the internet to create awareness concerning cabin air and aerotoxic syndrome. And I think that's why we're speaking.
Okay, good. Yeah. Can you tell me how you got aerotoxic syndrome?
It is basically, first you have a poisoning, and the poisoning I became aware of was when we were during flight, we had to spray insecticide sprays. You know, certain countries request that airlines spray these sprays so that no mosquitoes and no other little critters can get into the country.
Yeah, disinfection.
Exactly, disinfection. And that stuff is really very poisonous. But we didn't know. We were told it was safe, and we weren't told to wear any protective gear. So we got the stuff all over our faces and hands and on our uniforms, and of course inhaled it while we were spraying it. I started becoming sick. I started getting allergies and so on. And anyway, after a few years, I also learned then at some stage that we had an additional problem, that the air in the aircraft was contaminated not only by things like the insecticide sprays, but actually by other very toxic fumes coming in from the engine directly, so-called bleed air, which is air that is full of paralyzed, burnt oil, engine oil, which creates something like carbon monoxide and hundreds of other chemicals as well, and cause a contamination in the air that can be very toxic. Sometimes you smell it, and sometimes it smells like kerosene fumes, but it's that also can enter the cabin before takeoff, during taxi and so on. So sometimes you will find that the air in the cabin, it smells like you're at a petrol station, perhaps you could compare it to, or in a car workshop. It can cause, you know, it can only cause a headache. It can cause you just to feel a little bit sick for a few minutes or half an hour or so, and then it might be gone again. But over time, if you have that very often, you can actually have a so-called toxic body burden. The body cannot deal with it anymore. It doesn't eliminate the poisons. It actually stores these toxic substances in the cells and in the central nervous system and in the brain, and can cause injury, real proper injury in the nervous system. And that can then lead to the aerotoxic syndrome that we're talking about, which is can be a long-term ill health. Some are chronically ill for years. Some can improve a little bit sometimes. But there are many that just remain sick.
And how has it impacted your life personally?
Well, I was one of the really unlucky ones. I had to stop flying immediately when I was diagnosed. The doctor said, you have to stop flying immediately in order to save some of your health and hopefully improve again. And so I virtually didn't know when I had my last flight, but that was my last flight. And from then on, I just tried to somehow regain my health, but it really, really took me roughly 3 years to improve somewhat by avoiding all chemicals. I even left the country. I lived in Germany at the time, but I left Germany and went to Ireland and lived in the country away from everything to not be exposed to chemicals. And so I improved a little bit. I was actually quite well until I went stupidly onto a flight as a passenger. And for some very odd reason, I managed to get into a full-blown fume event.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, 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 I did, actually. And it wasn't funny at all, really. I hadn't expected anything of the kind, really. And I also thought I was very much better, so I wasn't worried. It was also only during the last quarter of an hour, basically, that I was on that plane. Everything was fine until the moment we had to wait for our parking position in Frankfurt, because it was still blocked. And during that time, the pilots were revved the engines all the time. And every time I thought, OK, now we're going to move again. But we didn't. And when they did that once again, a cloud of toxic fumes just entered the cabin, just like that. It smelled absolutely terrible. And within seconds, my heart started racing and I got a headache and I felt really, really sick. The passenger beside me covered his nose and I tried to cover my face, of course. I had packed everything away already. I wasn't wearing a mask, but it was too late. And from then on, I became really, really sick. This is a so-called acute fume event, with very strong, with high levels of toxic substances in the air being inhaled, on top of the chronic ill health that the body still has. It's basically like a memory in the body, and it can't deal with this onslaught of extra chemical substances again, and it reacts immediately, especially when the same substances are introduced into the body when it was got really sick, when it had those. So it react. My brain was the worst part. I really thought I was going to die at some stage, to be honest with you. I had got off that flight. It was Saturday or Sunday. I was there, flew back the next day. And on the next flight, the next day, I had an air pump with me. Somebody gave me an air pump. I was at a conference and the person had that air pump and said, you want to take this with you and measure the air on board? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And I got home and I became sicker and sicker on a daily basis. My body just crashed completely. And I woke up one night and I thought my brain was bursting. I thought my spine was coming out of my body with, you know, like the whole central nervous system was reacting like crazy. And the whole house was moving. I thought, I don't know what I'm having, but something's not right here. Anyway, long story short, after some time, I had that air pump tested. We tested it and it came back with positive results of highly contaminated air on the aircraft on the way back as well. There was not even a fumarant like I had the day before, but there were still toxic levels in the air. So I was exposed on 2 days to very high toxic substance levels in the cabin air and breathing all that stuff in. So no wonder I was half dead afterwards.
Yeah. When did this happen?
That was 2010. Yeah. I had been medically retired in 1997. So in between those years where I was, as I mentioned earlier, I was pretty good, you know, I felt fine. There were some symptoms that were there. The doctors had told me, you probably won't lose all the symptoms. It is possible that some will remain because the damage is very high. But I could live with it. It was no problem. Let me put it that way. I was okay. You know, I mean, I was sensitive to chemicals and all of that, but that was no problem for me. I just avoided that as much as I could. But that 2010 incident really, really threw me back. And I have been struggling since then and landed practically on a yearly basis at some hospital where they then just didn't know what to do with me.
But this is really scary stuff and it's horrible to go through this.
Yeah, you have to stay positive because if you give yourself up, it just doesn't. I'm a fighter, so I guess that's why. I also feel much better because last year when I had landed once again in hospital and they once again didn't help me properly and didn't listen to me and all the usual stuff, and it's got me more upset than anything else, I developed my own therapy. I suddenly had a few ideas and I tried that combination. And it worked for me, and I am feeling very much better. So I did have also this myocarditis from the poisoning, so my heart is scarred and weakened, but I at least don't get dizzy spells and the bad headaches from every little bit of chemicals anymore. I've got my hearing back. I even lost my hearing from the last incident.
Wow.
I suddenly couldn't hear anymore. I had very bad tinnitus, and then suddenly my hearing was gone. So, and I've got my hearing back, and that is so amazing. And that was with my own therapy. So all my studies in natural healing and natural health or alternative health or complementary health medicine or whatever you want to call it has helped a lot. So all that research and all the work I've been doing has been positive there. But it took a few years, 8 years.
Yeah. That's
second
great
time. But yeah.
The thing is, I'd like to invite you back to another show of mine on self-help, where I'd like to speak with you in detail regarding your alternative therapy that you've actually followed yourself. And because that would be a good tool for our listeners to have if ever they are in your situation, that they at least have another alternative to look towards. If you don't mind, and if you have the time, I'd be glad to have you on again on another show.
Absolutely.
Bernadine, what are your thoughts and feelings now, you know, after all this experience you've had with aerotoxic syndrome? What do you think about the illness?
What do I think about the illness? Well, the illness is a fact, and it is basically, one has to see it as a poisoning, because the problem is that the industry tries and denies this as a poisoning or aerotoxic syndrome. They don't like talking about aerotoxic syndrome, and they especially deny that it's a chronic, can become a chronic illness. It doesn't happen to everybody. But if you look at it as a poisoning, basically like a CO poisoning, you know, then you can basically look up what harm it can do, and that it actually does harm the central nervous system. And it's an environmental thing, and it's also an illness that can happen indoors. You get this in an aircraft, this excessive poisoning. And many people ask why passengers aren't mentioned so often. Well, that's very simple, because they're not exposed to these toxins as much as air crew are. It's an occupational poison illness, really. There's still a lot of work to be done to have it recognized. But if one looks into classifications of illnesses, you'll find nearly all the toxins that we deal with under certain classifications in the World Health Organization list. So it is a definite ill health, and it is based on an injury from poisons. Mm. It's very hard to explain otherwise. I hope that helps a little bit.
No, that's great. I also know that you've done a massive amount of work to help the community, the aviation community. You founded the Aerotoxic Team, and then you founded the Global Aerotoxic Team. Tell me about your journey on how you achieved that.
How did I achieve that? By just plodding on.
No, but it takes courage. It takes, all the information out there is amazing. So where did the plans come from? Yeah.
Yeah, well, after I got so really sick in 2010, I met Dr. Michelle Mulder first. That was the first person I met from the community, actually, if we put it that way, mm-hmm. in 2010, just after the flight that I took into Frankfurt. That was the conference I was going to, and he was there. So after that, I had a lot of contact with him, and he helped me a lot. He's a very kind gentleman. He helped me a lot and gave me lots of information. And with him, I worked my way into the whole thing. Then I met Captain John Hoyt, and then I met Dr. Susan Michaelis and Tristan Lorraine, and so on and so on, and mm-hmm. several of the other experts. And, of course, started collecting everything that was there, really. Plus the fact then, of course, that I needed as much evidence and paperwork proof as possible for my case, because I wasn't going to just lay that down. I had a lawsuit running and picked up my old lawsuit again to try and get my occupational ill health liability insurer to pay. So mm-hmm. When I get stuck into something, I just stick with it, and it interested me, and I also don't like injustice and unfairness, and so that got me up onto the fence, and then I just had to do something. And at some stage, I started off really with a German website, but mm-hmm. then everybody was like, kind of, okay, we need that in English as well, and because mm-hmm. I'm bilingual, I started translating, and in the end it was all English.
Because that's the international language, right? And everybody understands that.
Yeah, well, this is it. And I always said, look, guys, all German, air German people speak English, and flight attendants and pilots do anyway. So I decided, okay, look, one's enough, because it is very strenuous. It made me very tired, and I couldn't work all the time on this thing because I was really sick at the time. So after doing this several hours a day, I'd be flat out and in bed and sleeping and trying to rest. But I just did every day a little bit and just collected and had my ideas. And I just kind of like made a hobby out of it, to be honest with you.
Amazing, amazing work. Thank you so much for all the information you've put out there. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
So what would your advice be to crew and passengers? Do you have any precautionary advice that you can give them?
Well, yes, obviously. Simplest thing is that I recommend for everybody to take a mask, a protective pollution mask, along on board, just for safety reasons. I mean, many people are worried about bacteria and viruses, so you might as well wear a mask if you're worried about that. Then you're protected from those things, and the masks can also selectively filter some of the substances, at least, that are in undetectable fumes. Now, for crew, it's a bit more difficult because obviously they can't run around offering their meals and service in a mask. I mean, they are pretty masks around, but somehow it just doesn't work.
Part of the uniform. Grooming, check. Exactly. Yeah, mask on. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. So what I do recommend that they should try and avoid as many other chemicals as possible. You know, I mean, if I hear of other companies, the American companies now with their toxic uniforms, I'm going, oh, my God, you know, those poor colleagues. I mean, they've got toxins all over the place. They're wearing the stuff and they're inhaling it as well. But try and avoid such toxins and take some extra vitamin C as a minimum to help support your body with a little bit of extra immune system strength. Have your own, a little mask with you in your pocket, in your uniform pocket, you know, just so you can just put that on just in case. If you do smell the famous mysterious odor or smell, as the industry likes to downplay them, put it on and use it. Go back to your galley and then have in your flight kit an additional good mask, shall I call it a professional mask from special mask company that does nothing else, work masks like for painters or people that work in chemical factories. They don't just wear these little paper masks or anything, they wear proper masks with proper filter cartridges in them. So have that. You have to buy it yourself if the airline isn't providing anything for you. You have to spend that extra money, but they're not too expensive. But it's better than having nothing there at all than having these horrible problems and health issues for a long time afterwards. So rather have that expense and wear the mask and put it on, even if perhaps in the end was particularly necessary. But we do find that many don't even smell the smells, you know, the smell of the toxic smell that is produced, because the nose is different. Everybody's olfactory nerves are different.
Or they get so used to it.
Exactly. Or you get so used to it within seconds. You're used to it and you think it's gone. And then next thing, the colleague beside you keels over and is sick and blue in the face because of the toxins, and you can't even smell them. So that can all happen. Doesn't mean that you're not inhaling the toxins. Doesn't mean that they're not going to cause any problems to you possibly later on, but can build up very slowly. It's always a bit of a Russian roulette, as we like to say. So take it seriously. Rather have those masks with you just in case. Or if you don't have it and you have smoke hoods, at least go and grab a smoke hood. It's not going to protect you long, and it's not going to filter everything, as also not the other won't filter everything, because they filter selectively. But it's better than absolutely nothing at all.
Nothing, true, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing that I can advise. And passengers definitely take along at least a small mask. I mean, if it's... if you're lucky and you don't have a fume event or so-called odors or whatever on board of the flight, but it will at least protect you from viruses and bacteria as well. I mean, look at Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, the Asian people. They wear, from out of politeness, when they have a cold, they'll wear a mask. It's nothing weird or funny. It's just do it.
Yeah,
have it in your flight kit as a travel item.
Yeah, true. And it's so small, it doesn't take that much place in any case, you know. Okay, Bernadine, I also heard that you're an author and you've published 2, maybe 3 books now as we speak. Could you tell us something about that?
Well, I published my first one nearly 3 years ago, The Air I Breathe Is Classified. That was my first one. Well, basically about what we're talking about now, my life, traveling, adventures, you know, everything that I experienced in flying, including, of course, then also my ill health and why. And I did it more a little bit on on a research basis. Also, I provided lots of information expertise information, research information, study information, and so on. And I have now just this weekend, really, more or less, next week I'll be releasing the press release. My sequel to my first book is Tomb in the Sky, Aviation's Wounded Canaries. and is based really, again, obviously, on all of this ill health occurring in flight.
Mm-hmm.
And why? And I have put it together in a little bit of a different way this time. And I have added some insider documentation. Mm-hmm. I have published that as well. Lots of documents from the industry showing mm-hmm. that they have known forever, since 70 mm-hmm. years, about this problem. They have been warned by their own people. By highly qualified engineers and scientists within their own role companies, and they didn't listen, it was ignored. And all these things, it has to come out. I mean, we've been working so hard on this. They know it. They can't really decide, but they still try. So anyway, so that's my second book, and there's another little book that's out as well, and number four is coming as well.
Wow, so you're an avid writer like myself.
Like yourself. I kept thinking when I see Chriselda, gosh, well, she must be writing 25 hours a day. What on earth?
It's just, I think I found a bit of healing, you know, through writing. Yeah. It kind of calms me down. Probably you have the same thing as well. And we're going to talk about that on another show on writing and how you get, you know, how you get your processes working and how you get your inspiration and things like that. But it's amazing that you're sharing this information in a book is absolutely amazing. So can you tell the listeners how they can get to your books and how they can contact you?
Yes, well, the books are on Amazon worldwide, basically. Mm-hmm. And, well, they can reach me, I offer my email address everywhere and via my websites, obviously, aerotoxicteam.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can contact me there via the contact form. And then I've got the other website with health information. It's called mm-hmm. Plain Holistic Health, as in airplane holistic health, also .com. There's also mm-hmm. a contact form there, and everybody's welcome to contact me via those contact forms.
Great. What I'll do is I'll put all these links in the description of the episode. So if the listeners want to contact you, they can simply click on there and get to you. Great. So Bernadine, then the last question, how do you see the future? Because you're very positive and you're a motivated fighter. So how do you see the future?
Yeah. Well, I do feel that we're getting somewhere and that things are happening. It's just happening very slowly. We just have to be patient, I guess. But things are moving. Not only in our case here with aerotoxic or contaminated cabin air on aircraft and aerotoxic syndrome, there's also other many environmental groups busy and growing and putting up a fight. So I think that the industries and the governments and authorities and regulators and all who is very important are starting to listen, but it will still take a while until we can actually have proper changes. We're supposed to have filters fitted in the aircraft engines, but it's not looking that it's going to be this year yet. Mm. They promised something around end of last year, then it was this year. I doubt that it will actually work because I don't know if they're actually going to be able to create filters that filter everything, because if that were possible, the mask companies would be able to create masks that filter everything. And after I have spoken with mask companies, they clearly said it is not possible. You have to wear a hazmat suit with integrated oxygen. Then you are completely sealed off from the environment. So they have a problem and that needs to be sorted, but the industry has to do that. And we just keep prodding them in the ribs. That's what we just do. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Just point the finger at them and prod them in the ribs, remind them, we're still here. We're watching you.
Yeah, that's great. I think that should push them, you know, towards.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Good. All right. Yeah. So, Bernadine, thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm going to be in touch soon to get you on another show.
Lovely. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much for having me. Lovely.
My pleasure. So have a lovely evening, Bernadine. And thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You too,
Chriselda.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining The Three Pillars. Please subscribe at chriselda.blog to win a free protective mask. See you next week.